Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Boom! Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. All right, Jake, are you ready for a little bit of positivity followed by a little bit of controversy?
Those are two favorite things. Yeah,
two of your favorite things. All right, let me pull it up here. Now let's start with the positivity. You probably saw this thing was freaking everywhere, but Travis Hunter, okay, we'll start with this. Travis Hunter played 776 defensive snaps last year and only allowed 23 catches and a touchdown. Were you aware of that?
I didn't know those exact numbers. That's pretty impressive.
So he probably, I don't know his offensive snaps, he probably played over 1,500 snaps last year. That's crazy. And he didn't win the Thorpe Award, I might add, which, as we all know, Deion was not happy about. All right, let's see. Sandy Hawkins Combs put this out on social media, and it was everywhere. She said, I had the most wonderful flight ever, the most wonderful flight home from Denver. I met the nicest young man who sat next to me. He offered to put my bag in the overhead compartment and help me with my tray. He was always polite, saying yes, ma'am, or no, ma'am. Anyone would be proud to have a seat. To have him as a son or grandson, so polite. People walking by were saying and congratulating him, saying, great job, we even take a picture. As I turned and asked him, who am I sitting next to? I looked at his Jaguars pants, smiled, and asked, are you an athlete? He smiled and said, I'm Travis. Yes, I was drafted by the Jags. I already told my sons that I want his jersey. He's so humble, down to earth. I would have never guessed he was a professional athlete. Jacksonville Jags, you did good. I will be buying tickets. United Airlines, thank you for my seat assignment. So this is obviously about Travis Hunter. So I've mentioned several times, you know, there's things about Travis Hunter, the intangibles, the off-the-field things that, like, to me, when I said I would take him number one overall in the draft, I talked about, hey, if you could draft Deion Sanders, you know, why in the world would you pass on him? Why wouldn't you take him with whatever pick you have or even the number one overall pick? But part of that was also a lot of the off-the-field intangibles. I mean, his GPA is over 3.5. It's darn near 4.0. He already takes care of his body a ton. If you ever watched his weekly routine from cryotherapy to cold tubbing to everything that he does from massages to be able to play that many snaps. And obviously, Coach Prime also took care of him in practice as well. But it's one of those things where he's one of those guys, I find it impossible not to root for him beyond just his football talent. It's all the talent. It's all the intangibles. It's everything else that he brings both on and off the field. Did you see this post? And when you see things like this, is it kind of like, man, it's so nice to see some positivity, because what tends to grab headlines is negativity. And it's just, it's nice to see things like this as well. I wish we'd see them a lot more often, honestly.
Yeah, and I'm glad you shine a light on it, because I say that, you know, I kind of see that all the time. It, you know, obviously, there's less to debate about, is Travis Hunter a good guy? Yeah, so you don't, you know, there's not a whole lot of spinning point, but it is like, it is refreshing to kind of hear, you know, somebody down to earth. I mean, this guy, as opposed to others with big heads, maybe even on his own team, you know.
Who could you be talking about?
Yeah, that's just throwing somebody out. I don't have anybody in specific. Uh-huh. But, yeah, no, so that's good to get those reports, because we hear plenty of the opposite.
Okay, so the other end of the spectrum here. I'm sure you saw this as well. There are some folks out there who wonder why people would root for Scott Frost to do well at UCF. And there are some folks who are like, why do we talk about Scott Frost? Why do we even bring him up? Why, like, you're really searching hard for content and clickbait stuff. And I'm like, well, he was interesting at Oregon. I mean, I knew what he was doing at Kansas State because people were talking about him when he was being an assistant coach there. He was obviously very intriguing at UCF, former national championship winning quarterback, former Nebraska head coach. I mean, I look at Bo Pelini. You know, that's a guy I played for him for a year. So that's a guy that's always going to be intriguing to me. And any Nebraska football coach or guy that used to coach here, Solich and any of these guys or guys who used to play and had success on a rare and unique level, they're going to be intriguing. And I think noteworthy and worthy of talking about. I don't want to go down the rabbit hole on this because there's all sorts of thoughts out there. And, you know, there's the quote that I've seen and I quote, I'm never going to talk about that, end quote, Scott Frost. And then he inevitably ends up talking about Nebraska without directly naming Nebraska a lot. He talked about, you know, he was happy at UCF. He doesn't come out and say it, but basically wasn't really dying to leave and kind of came to Nebraska because other people wanted him to do it. Which I'll be honest with you, I got that impression at the time. He never said it to me, but I got that impression. Do you remember the picture? I think it was the day of his introductory press conference. He's walking up the stairs into the stadium. Now, it's a freezing cold day in December, okay? But he's kind of like looking down. He's in his suit. The hands are in his pockets, but he's like kind of like looking at the ground. He doesn't, in this one picture, okay, and I've seen other pictures, but this picture always stood out to me. He doesn't look like a guy that's like got a pep in his step and let's light this candle. He looks like a guy that's here because he's supposed to be here. That's how that picture, do you know what picture I'm talking about?
Not specifically, but you described it pretty well.
Like, that's how that, even at the time, that's how the picture struck me. And I remember, obviously, the press conference that day. I remember all the former players that were in the weight room that day there to support him, you know, and he kind of was like, you know, I welcome all former players' support and ideas, unless they're bad ideas, which was actually a pretty funny joke. I don't know. It's tough when people at this point in time, it's kind of like, do we root for Scott Frost? Do we not root for Scott Frost? You know, whatever. And everybody's got different feelings. And some people are like, don't talk about Scott Frost, but he's noteworthy. I'm on the side that he's noteworthy. Like to me, he's interesting. He was interesting before he was ever our coach for multiple reasons. Okay. As far as rooting for Scott Frost, you know, it's challenging to a degree. Just because things really didn't go well here. There was, you know, maybe not an entire realm of accountability that was taken. Or at least it feels that way. When I watch what he's doing at UCF, I don't find myself rooting for him or against him. I find myself like, what the hell's going to happen down there? And I'm very curious about it. That's what I find myself thinking. Like, I'm not like, ooh, I hope it doesn't go well. Or I hope he does really, really well. I'm just kind of like, what's going to happen? Like, it's just intriguing to me, you know, and there's a bunch of stats, you know, in six seasons plus another three games, he's only had one team that was above 500, and that was his undefeated season, undefeated team as well. There's all these different things out there. And I've been of the mindset, like, Solich eventually came back. A lot of these guys eventually come back, you know, if things don't go well. Even in WWE, Vince McMahon is one of the most proud, arrogant, pompous people you could ever meet. Yet every single wrestler he ever had an issue with, except for one, came back. Name one that didn't. Now, CM Punk was more Triple H, a little bit of Vince McMahon in there. CM Punk just came back. But you think about the Ultimate Warrior came back, a guy who held him up for more money right before a major pay-per-view at SummerSlam. And he said he would give him more money. The Ultimate Warrior goes out, and he has to fire him afterwards because he can't accept that. But he had to give the fans what he had advertised, which was the Warrior and Hogan and all these guys in some sort of a tag match at SummerSlam. I forget exactly what it was. Bruno Sammartino. Those were about as harsh of feelings as you could ever imagine. And if you don't know who that is, think of Austin before Steve Austin. Think of Hulk Hogan before Hulk Hogan. Think of that type of guy. All right. They always would end up coming back. The only guy who didn't was Macho Man Randy Savage. There's a whole bunch of rumor and innuendo about that. Ultimately, he unfortunately passed away, I believe, in a car crash like a decade ago or something like that. So I'm sure that obviously played a role in that. But my point is, I've always been of the mindset that I think one day Scott Frost will come back. I think it's going to be longer than Solich. I think it's going to be longer. I think Husker fans will probably be part of that. That picture, if it does develop and come into form, I think Frost has got to be part of that if it does develop and come into form. I think it's going to take longer, and I think part of that is, you know, obviously Frost feels a certain kind of way. There's Husker fans who would be open to it. There's some that wouldn't. I think it's going to take long, like, what was Solich, about 20 years? I mean, with Frost, it might be 40 years, but that's an entire generation of people who are going to be like, what's everyone so mad about? Why don't we bring this guy back? And then ultimately at that point, I think it would be up to Frost, in my opinion. I don't know. What are your thoughts on this, Jake? For me, again, I'm not like, ooh, I hope he does really great. I hope he does really bad. I'm just like, what's going to happen? Can he replicate at UCF once again what they did one season down there? They are technically in a Power Four conference now, not one of the big two, but technically a Power Four conference, so probably a little bit harder. But I do know he was really, really happy down there at one point. Can they reach that level of success again? What do you think? Should this even be talked about, Jake? And what are your thoughts on it as a whole? In addition to that.
Well, you know, I think it's kind of interesting. You know, a lot of people are going to have their feelings about it, obviously. And I might be a little bit different. Some people, everybody kind of has their different rules or whatever it might be. I still cheer for Bill Callahan. Some people might not, right? So I kind of like the people that have been through the program, even if it doesn't succeed. You know, it usually isn't from a lack of want to. Now, you can argue on Scott Frost a lot of different reasons about why it didn't work out here. But still, I kind of think back to him and his playing days. It's kind of the same thing with Trev Alberts. Like, man, these guys just had unbelievable careers. Now, when they you know, pass the player mode and they come back as an AD or as a coach, maybe it didn't quite work out. And but something short of, you know, Scott Frost saying screw Jake Bakovin or Nebraska needs to burn alive as a state. You know, I'm
wow.
going to be cheering.
Wow. That escalated quickly.
I'm going to be cheering for Scott Frost. And, you know, I don't think he's always makes the best moves, but I'm intrigued too. Like, what is the football in totality reaction to if Scott Frost succeeds again at UCF? Is there going to be more interest? Is he going to want to move up? I mean, he's kind of already talked about how he shouldn't have left the first time. But to me, what kind of separates it is that it's not like that's what I always kind of think, like Pelini. If they would have let Pelini go and he would have went and got a job at, you know, whatever school, but just a major school somewhere in the Big 12, and was having success there, how would people feel? I think there would be like questions back. Should we have fired him? You know, now that he's doing well here, this and that. The Scott Frost, there's no argument to me. I think he had an extended stay longer than what I believe he should have had. I think he probably should have been fired after 4 years. So there's never an idea in my mind of, well, what if you would have had more time or maybe we should bring him back? No, we've been through that. So I can cheer for him without having any sort of feelings of what does this mean for Nebraska? I already know what it meant. I lived through it. It wasn't good. And Nebraska's moved on, and I hope most people will. But, you know, it's always going to get clicks, always going to get interest. And I'm one of those people clicking because I do still support. I would say I can't really think of any ex-Husker that I'm like, yeah, I just like throw them away. I'm not interested in them anymore.
I do think it's interesting. It's obviously polarizing. The folks out there who are like, oh, nothing to talk about. Have you ever listened to my show? I can't get everything in 2 hours. There's plenty to talk about. All right. And then and it's not just my show. It's anybody who has a show or writes an article. There goes the accusations of, oh, you're just trying to get clickbait. I send you the headline before every single show. Now, sometimes you have to tweak it based on amount of characters and does it fit or not fit or whatever. But essentially, you have an idea of what we're going to talk about. Did you have any idea we were going to talk about Frost today?
I did not.
It's not even in the headline of this show. Not on purpose. It's just simply, I want to talk about the O-line, baseball, and softball. And that's all the room we had for the characters for the show today. So for the headline for the show today. So for me, I don't want to say it's disrespectful if you don't talk about him because now you're almost like ignoring him like he doesn't exist. I don't know that I'm going to take that stance, but I do believe it is noteworthy to be talked about for reasons I've already laid out. I think it's how it's outlined, how things are approached, and what is exactly said. You know, I do think there is kind of this interesting, very passionate fan base. Yes. I remember when I played, you know, if a team came in and beat us in Lincoln, the fans would clap for him, tell him good game as they walked off. So very classy fans. I do think keeping in mind not everything that every former player ever does, people are going to love. So, and there's levels to that, I might add. There are levels to that. Let's be clear. Okay. But to me, I'll never be able to disregard that they wore the jersey. They represented the N, and I will never be able to disregard that barring that they just attack Jake Bakoven. They attack Jake and they're dead to me.
That's right.
Outside of that, I'd have a hard time, or what'd you say? Burn, tell them the state to burn, which that did escalate quickly. Outside of that, I have a hard time disregarding that. Do we have anything off the text line?
Anything from
the show so far?
I say you mentioned Frost and people do have opinions. That's why.
Let's do this because we are 15 minutes late. Let's go to break. I don't know what's on the text line. Don't even tell me during the commercial break. You just pick out what appeals the most to you. We've talked NBA, baseball, softball, Frost, Travis Hunter. We're going to get to the offensive line here in hour two and whatever those texts are that you think are the most appealing. And we'll do that when we get back. How's that sound, Jay?
That sounds good.
All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.